it's a hypocrisy that people don't even recognize, but it is an obvious one. And that's this weird switch that's occurred between your traditional conspiracy theorists like myself and the left and their attempts to theorize. And it's causing a bit of confusion, I think. We're about to go to a video of Jake Tapper just being, frankly, humiliated by Tim Dillon over the topic of Jeffrey Epstein. Is it Chris Cuomo? I don't care. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, crew. Yes, Chris Cuomo, not Jake Tapper. I'm sorry. Whatever globalist meathead talking head is pretending to be stupid about things so he doesn't have to tell the truth. He asked Tim Dillon about Jeffrey Epstein and gets a very funny answer in response. But I was just sitting here thinking about some of the conspiracy theories that have been floated in the last few years. Now, on the right wing, we have conspiracy theories like Jeffrey Epstein is a Mossad agent. Duh. Is that even a conspiracy theory? It's confirmed, more or less, by anybody who actually does the research. Not really more, not a conspiracy theory, more of a established fact, right? And we have a few others, I guess you could say. But it's nothing compared to Russia collusion and, oh my God, you know, Pete Hegseth has a cross tattoo. That means he's a Nazi. I mean, the conspiracy theorizing from the left has been absurd. I think it might be because they don't understand how conspiracy theories come about. We come up with conspiracy theories, if that's what you want to call them, by doing research and determining that the real story is not the official story, and then we express what we believe to be true. They don't understand that or care about that or have the mental capability to understand that, so they just come up with nonsense and throw it at the wall and see if it sticks. They think that's what we do. Here's Tim Dillon humiliating some guy. Let's watch.
Why is it that people on the fringe right seem to engage in conspiracies more? Is it a coincidence that Benny Johnson and Charlie Kirk are more interested in the Epstein files? Is it a coincidence that Rogan was, you know, talking so much about Epstein killing himself versus being murdered? Why do we hear more of that on the right?
I think there's people on the fringe left, if you remember, and I think Epstein probably was murdered. I mean, I don't think Well, based on the idea that the cameras went out and the guards fell asleep and he had information on some of those most powerful people in the world, and his best friend, Ghislaine Maxwell's father, the Seymour Hersh, wrote a book alleging that he was an agent of the Mossad, and they had what clearly seems like a honeypot operation, and that all of these politicians were on his jet. Like, it feels like, again, just from an outsider's point of view, he got a sweetheart deal for the first time he was accused and convicted of being inappropriate with a minor. And I don't know the exact terminology. He did a lot more than be inappropriate with a minor. But you have this intriguing, weird figure who's connected to all of these very powerful people and has an island where people are going to meet up with underage women, and all of these people are coming out and testifying to that effect. And then right before his trial, he dies. I mean, Chris, let's be honest. If we're talking about the mafia and we're talking about a guy that had information on all of these big, powerful people, and he gets whacked, does not a part of your brain? And I'm, you know, Kirk or Johnson or Rogan or whoever, me or anybody who's looking at this, and people on the left and the fringe left also has some conspiracies. One of them was that Donald Trump was an agent of Russia. And by the fringe left, I mean every media organization, including the one you used to work for, every day was Russiagate. So to me, it's like, don't you look at the Epstein thing and for a minute say to yourself, yes, it is possible that this guy who is involved in potentially blackmailing people, but certainly involved in human trafficking and connected to all these wealthy powerful people gets whacked before he can say any of their names?
Yes. I think it's very curious.
Well, then you're a deranged conspiracy theorist anti-Semite, sir. How dare you? I got nothing to add to that. Well done, Tim Dillon, on the top of his head, too. You want to know really why we think he's dead? I can give you a binder full of information. But off the top of his head, that was great.
I also notice your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I've been caught.
You got a little, did you find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
Yeah, AlexJonesStore.com. Check out the supplements we have, 25% off apparel. Methylene blue, you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So,
amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him while.
If you don't mind, a bottle that fills. Too.
You like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah, it's not going to, you're not worried about it breaking open or.
No, like on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here in lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I only got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at x.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of The War Room has begun. You can support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. But it's not just supporting us. It's supporting yourself as well with the brand new and incredibly powerful Ultra Methylene Red. Get Ultra Methylene Red right now for 50% off when you subscribe. And for the next 2 days, all shirts and hats on the site are $19.99 with any purchase of Methylene Red. So get your Ultra Methylene Blue, pair it with the Ultra Methylene Red, get yourself a t-shirt or a hat on top of it. All of it's discounted. Sign up for the auto ship, and you're getting 50% off the Ultra Methylene Red. Incredible deals, incredible products, incredible information, supported by thealexjonesstore.com. Now, I promise you, going to move on to Arctic Frost. Then something came up. Something arose. Oh, yeah, and you can go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. Something came up. The crew told me about a video I hadn't seen yet. So I think we're going to have to start talking about Israel. I think we're going to have to get into it. Because it has been an absolute disaster. And I've ranted about this enough. Yesterday, I did a whole Moonbase episode on this. Last night, if you want to find that, you can go to rumble.com/moonbase live, or I don't know, search Moonbase Live. And we did a show basically breaking down the Josh Hammer article from yesterday. I'll get into it again today. But just to give you a brief overview, essentially, there has been an ongoing effort. It actually goes back a lot longer than I've been saying recently, because it really became apparent in 2024 when the outrageous behavior of the Israelis in bombing Gaza for years on end, for no particular reason, drove a lot of people away from that, you know, support for that particular country. And the Democrats embraced this and really were not supporting Israel at all in 2024. So the powerful Israel first voices in America decided to back Trump completely. That's when a bunch of the big tech people came over, a bunch of the big investment people like Bill Ackman decided to not be a Democrat like he was for the rest of his life and instead back Trump. All of that was predicated on Israel. And we have seen the effects of that. And throughout his entire administration, as we've been laying out, there has been this silent, shadowy, cold war going on where Israel is desperately trying to twist Trump's arm and get him into a war with Iran and, you know, get more for Israel and just treat America like, you know, the stick they swing around to bash their enemies with. And Trump has been resisting this while continuing to play the game and thread the needle and walk that tightrope. But it actually goes way far beyond 2024. And something that we haven't talked about in a while, but, and probably a lot of people watching me right now probably weren't even in the movement all the way back then. Not a criticism, but it's just true. If you were involved in the internet spaces in 2015, 2016, you know that the Trump movement at the grassroots level was anti-Israel from the beginning. And probably the most prominent, the most important space for memes and messaging and narratives was The Donald on Reddit. It was Reddit/r/TheDonald. And it was a powerhouse of information, a powerhouse of MAGA culture. And there was a very distinct changeover that occurred when it became obvious Trump was going to be the Republican candidate. Because when it started, it was distinctly anti-Israel, because to be anti-Israel fell perfectly in line with everything else Trump was talking about. The wars overseas, the wars in the Middle East, he was, you know, the big breakout moment, right, was him saying that George W. Bush got us into war in Iraq and we never should have been there because there were no weapons of mass destruction. That was a lie. When he said that during that first debate, I mean, that was unprecedented. Nobody said that at that time. And again, we forget how far we've come in 10 years. 10 years ago, if you went back to 2015, in, you know, October 2015, and told people that, like, yeah, the next president is going to blame the Iraq war on Bush for lying about weapons of mass destruction, you would have seemed like an insane person. Nobody said that. Donald Trump did. Came out with this. It was major. It drew a lot of people onto his side. And to be anti-Israel was part and parcel with that. But then when it was discovered that he had a lot of momentum and was probably going to become the Republican candidate after all, there was a change. Moderators were removed, others put in, and suddenly it became pro-Israel. Isn't that interesting how that works? So, I mean, this has been an ongoing conflict. This has been an ongoing, shadowy, cold civil war in the MAGA movement for as long as the MAGA movement has existed. It was never an Israeli movement. It was always an America First movement that Zionists have always infiltrated and turned towards their own ends, or at least tried to. They've succeeded some places, have failed in others. Now, this is massively accelerated during his second administration, obviously, because of the war in Gaza, because of the huge swing of public opinion away from Israel, and, of course, the incredible amounts of money and time and energy that Israel has put into propagandizing the rest of us into going along with their takeover of the Republican Party. So it's been going on for a while. It's increasing, and it's gotten to a fever pitch that's frankly exhausting and annoying. And all of this has sort of come to a head with the union, Nick Fuentes and Tucker Carlson. They went, they did an interview together, and since that moment, it is the only thing anybody's talking about on X. It is the only topic that anybody wants to talk about, and for pretty good reason. Now, what is the problem with Nick Fuentes being interviewed by Tucker Carlson? The problem is that he's convincing. The problem is that he makes good arguments, and that listening to him might sway people towards his belief system and away from the Zionist control of the Republican Party, and that Tucker Carlson has been really forced to go along with this. And this is just what happens. And you see it with literally everybody, okay? Literally everyone. Some are more willing to go farther than others. Others are more, you know, compelled by their obligations or donations or whatever it is to not quite go so far. But you saw it with Charlie Kirk. You've seen it with Candace Owens. You've seen it with Tucker Carlson. Nick Fuentes, the whole, you know, interview with Tucker Carlson was a description of how this occurs, right? It was Nick Fuentes talking about being 18 years old, being in high school, listening to Mark Levin, listening to Michael Savage, you know, being a sort of normie conservative libertarian type person. And by merely asking a question about Israel, he found he experienced massive, unrelenting, and completely unjustified backlash from the Israeli contingent on the right. And so he goes, well, this is weird. I guess I'll push back. And then it becomes a feedback loop where they always escalate, and you have to escalate to meet them until you're like a full-blown anti-Semite. And it's just, this is the escalation ladder that everybody seems trapped in. Charlie Kirk was the same way, but to a much, much lesser degree, right? He was extremely pro-Israel, started to just barely temper that, you know, aspect of his persona. And you've seen from the text messages and from all the articles that have been released, he was then subject to a full-fledged pressure campaign, blackmail campaign, and bribery campaign to get him back on the plantation. Tucker Carlson the same way, never anti-Israel to this day. Sings the praises of Israel over any other country. He says it's a favorite vacation spot. Like, he just loves it. But he doesn't approve unquestioningly of their every decision. Therefore, he is evil. He must be excluded. He must be expelled from the party. That's the argument we keep hearing. This is absurd. It's ridiculous. And now it's sort of happening at like national levels, where the insistence that we not question anything that Israel does. I don't need to go over this guy. I went over it yesterday. That the fact they chose Tucker Carlson as the subject of their ire is a strategic blunder. Because you can't look at Tucker Carlson and say, well, they're trying to keep the hate out of the party. Look, you know, he might say something's good, but if we want a political party into the future, we can't have crazies like Tucker Carlson out there making these crazy claims. It's like he doesn't make any crazy claims. He's very reasonable. He's very loving. He's very straightforward about what he believes. So what a stupid person to try to, you know, kick out of the Republican Party. And again, it's not because he's saying all this crazy stuff and everybody else is just trying to, oh, we're just trying to get, you know, conservatism back. And he's like, no, we must kill the Jews. Like, that's how they're portraying it. But in reality, he had some very moderate, very tepid criticisms of the brutal and outrageous actions of the Israeli military. But that very, you know, tepid response is enough for them to launch a full-fledged attack against him to deliberately try to divide MAGA on purpose to try to exclude those that don't, you know, unquestioningly love Israel. All this is to say that this is the exact type of stuff that we're against. Has actually, at the end of it, our motivation, my motivation, has nothing to do with Israel, has nothing to do with Jews. My motivation is protecting my country, our beliefs, our foundational belief system, Christianity, the First Amendment, and the sovereignty of the United States. That's where I'm coming from. And any threat to that is going to get my ire. I don't care who you are. And I'm not going to shut up because of who you are. And I won't target you because of who you are, because I'm a principled person, unlike any of the people we're about to discuss. But this is, it's not just in the political sphere. This stuff is really having a devastating impact on regular Americans, and it's only going to increase if we don't stand up and stop it right now. And at the end of the day, the whole reason that this has become a giant firestorm conflict is because we haven't been able to talk about this whole time. Because for decades, anybody trying to tell the truth about Israel, tell the truth about AIPAC, tell the truth about the ADL, or Zionism as a philosophy, has been destroyed. And so you didn't have reasonable people bringing up objections. You didn't have, you know, the type of conversations that we should have been having this whole time about what's best for us versus best for them. Where do our priorities lie? What are we prioritizing in this moment? How do we go into the future with both countries being reasonable and independent? That was never allowed to happen. So the truth doesn't get destroyed because people censor it. It just gets backed up, right? It's like a flowing river. The truth is there. It just flows. It's got its own impetus, the truth. And when you try to hold it back, you're not stopping the truth from getting out. You're damming it up. And eventually that dam is going to break. It's best not to build the dam. It's best to let the truth flow. Let everybody have their say. Do it in a loving fashion. But when you dam up the truth for several decades, something's going to happen. It's going to crack. And the truth's going to come spilling out with a force much, much more significant than it would have if you just let it flow the entire time. So Adam the Angler at Adam the Great TV on X posts this. Here's the video of Texas DPS and Bell County Sheriff's Office showing up at my front door all because I make anti-Israel posts. Is it free speech when Israel can just send your local cops to your door when you make posts they don't like? Let's watch this video. This is in Texas. This is Texas DPS enforcing thought crime for a foreign state. Let's watch. Let's go to the video, guys.
We're here because of the comments you made online about the Jewish community.
Are you so what?
No, I'm saying, are you?
I have a freedom of speech, dude.
Yeah, yeah, no, we get that.
I get that.
We got to make sure that you're not.
Do you have a warrant?
No,
that's why we're
here. Okay, you see that sign?
Yeah.
So that says no soliciting. What you're doing is basically soliciting. You understand that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It means you're not welcomed here. Okay. Bye.
Okay.
Stay off the lawn, please.
And then they are wandering off.
This is what they're doing, guys. You make comments about the Jews online, they'll f***ing show up at your door. This is what they do. This is freedom of speech. This is how much control Israel has over our country. Look at this response. For exercising my freedom of speech online. Wow. What a f***ing joke. What a f***ing joke. Can't wait to do some auditing of you boys. Bye-bye. Sign that says no soliciting does not give you a right to my curtilage. Bye-bye. Freedom of speech.
Do we have the door? Do we have the Ring doorbell video? Guys, let's grab the Ring doorbell video because apparently it's on that video. Do we have the audio for this?
Camera right there.
Yeah.
So here's the police showing up.
The dog. The wrong one.
Oh, there's a dog in there.
Yeah, wrong one.
Bulletproof vest, by the way.
Hey.
So I believe at, according to the post I'm reading it, at 1 minute and 40 seconds, they say why they are showing up at this guy's house. This is incredibly creepy. I mean, this guy handled himself well. He said he did exactly what he was supposed to. Do you have a warrant? No, get off my property. That's all that needs to be said. But I'd want to know, who ordered these guys to do this? Under what law are they intimidating American citizens because of their posts online that, as far as I can tell, he didn't make any threats. He didn't say he was going to do something. He expressed dislike of Israel.
We're here because of the comments you made online about the Jews.
Other people say they hear we're here because of the comments you made online about Israel. I thought he said the Jews, but either way, that's what they're there for. They showed up because of comments he made online. Not threats. Nothing illegal. So why is the Texas DPS showing up at that man's door? It doesn't matter they didn't arrest him. That's intimidation. That is a clear, stark warning to other people, and to him in particular. You don't say this type of stuff. Who gave them the order? And what do we charge him with? They can't get away with this. This is not acceptable. And we have to send a powerful message that this is not acceptable. We have free speech in this country, but we are losing it, and we're losing it to the Zionists. They are the number one threat to free speech that exists right now, so much more and beyond anything else in the world. How are Texas DPS officers being sent to knock on the door of an American citizen because of opinions that he expressed on X that weren't even enough to get his account suspended? They weren't even enough to get him kicked off of X, which has a habit of kicking off people who get a bit loquacious about their dislike of Israel. But apparently the comments he made weren't even enough to get him a ban or a suspension on X. Yet, somebody out there, some person out there, either in the local government here, the state government of Texas, or perhaps it came down from on high, somebody told them to go talk to this guy. I'll tell you what. First of all, we need to find out who gave that order, because that is a direct violation of his freedom of speech. Again, you don't have to get arrested. If cops show up at your door, knock on your door, fully loaded with bulletproof vests on, and say, we're here because of comments you made on the internet, that is an attempt to intimidate and to restrict the First Amendment. That is not legal. These people have to be held to account. Whoever gave the order, and I'd say whoever followed that order. Now, if they'd said, hey, you made some threats, we want to make sure you're not serious about those, make sure you're not acting on that, hey, we think you're in contact with actual terrorists overseas, and we want to make sure you're not involved in something nefarious. I can understand that. I completely understand that. That's not what they said. They said because of the comments you made online, either about Israel or the Jews, they show up and knock on the door. No warrant, no crime. Is this what we can, I mean, imagine any other situation. Any other situation, this would be a national news story, and you would already have Pam Bondi making statements. Let's just flip the script. Considering that we have more than enough examples of Jews online saying the most outrageous and offensive and sickening things about non-Jews, like Randy Fine, for example. And what if some sheriff in Texas saw a Jewish person posting something he didn't like, and so we sent a couple deputies to set that Jew straight? Hey, we were just here about some comments you made about Jesus Christ online. Oh, is it clear now what's happening? If it's any other group of people, any other situation, is it not abundantly clear what's going on here? Using American law enforcement to intimidate and silence Americans for criticizing a foreign state? Do you think it stops here? I cannot believe what I just saw. And what is this other video they sent me? Oh, from Adam the Angler. We must eliminate the Jews. It's the only solution at this point. We must protect and save Christianity. Is that it? Is that the one? We must eliminate the Jews? Well, you go to jail now, sir. You go to jail. Okay, I mean, again, it's like, is it something I would say? No, obviously not. Is it shockingly similar to the name of courses that Harvard teaches? Yeah. Again, I really have a hard time being shocked and appalled and fainting at somebody saying eliminate the Jews when I have Harvard professors writing books saying abolish whiteness. What's the difference? What's the difference? Who's the subject? That's the difference. And that's not a good enough excuse. That is not a distinction. So it's either all okay or it's not okay. The answer is it's all okay. The answer is, in fact, if you're not calling for violence or encouraging violence or calling for people to commit crimes or trying to put a bounty on a politician's head, yeah, there's certain things that, no, you're not allowed to do because they actually impact the real world and are simply the precursor to physical action. Fine. But you have to be offended when you come to America. It is a prerequisite of being an American that you must be okay with being offended. You must be okay with people hating you. You must be okay with people saying things that you vehemently and deeply disagree with. That's the cost of being an American. That's the price you have to pay. Price I have to pay. In return, what we get is freedom of speech, which is freedom of thought, which is a direct connection to the truth, what is objective reality. So yeah, you have to be offended, you have to be outraged, you have to be horrified at what people say, you have to. That's the price you pay in return for thinking your own thoughts and knowing the truth. But we got to get this guy on. We got to reach out to this guy. I don't want to let this go, and these officers shouldn't be allowed to be let go. Absolutely unacceptable. And it wouldn't even be a discussion if it was literally any other topic. Any other topic, any other person getting a knock on their door from heavily armed police for expressing their opinion. This ends now. It has to end now. We have to end it.
What out there could have an effect like methylene blue and synergistically work with it to boost it and supercharge it? So I got with Bigley. They've been making supplements long before I got with them. And I got with Chase, who's really smart. And I said, I want you to go to a couple of different formulators and ask them what you think's the best. Announcing, ladies and gentlemen, Ultra Methylene Red. Now, this bottle is three times the size of an Ultra Methylene Blue bottle because it's to have the formula, you got to have a lot more stuff in it. But this, ladies and gentlemen, is amazing. And it just came in yesterday. I took it with the Methylene Blue. Incredible workout today. Clarity, focus, it is so amazing. And it works with Methylene Blue. And it works without it. And unlike Ultra Methylene Blue that you can't take if you're on a serotonin reuptake inhibitor or certain medications, nothing in this has any of those counterindications, but still consult your physician. But when you take it with ultramethylene blue, it just does synergistic things that are amazing. I mean, I had this idea like a month into methylene blue exploding. I said, we got to come out with something that's complementary or even better. This is the research from that. You can buy three bottles, get 25% off. Buy two bottles, get 20% off. Buy one bottle, get 15% off. And when you subscribe and you cancel any time, it locks it in at 50% off at thealexjonesstore.com. So here it is, ladies and gentlemen. And it's available right now exclusively, limited first run. A little more comes in a month, but they got a limited run. Chase, tell us about what is in Ultra Methylene Red.
Well, I got to tell you, I've never been prouder of a product launch than I am of this. I really had a heavy hand in this.
So we are officially the first company through the Alex Jones Store that's ever even invented or launched something like this called Methylene Red. So I'm incredibly proud. And so we put this together as both a methylene blue super enhancer, especially with the cognitive focus benefits, the mitochondria empowerment, and the brain dropping off an extra electron for the brain cells. But it's also an incredible standalone product. I mean, just to give you an example, Alex, one of our best sellers when we were still operating the InfoWars store was Ultra 12. And this has everything that Ultra 12 had in it. 206,000% your daily value of vitamin B12 through methylcobalamin. So this is all backed by studies, by the way. We looked very carefully into this. The P5P form of B6 that cranks out GABA, serotonin, and dopamine like a neurotransmitter factory. It's got 5,000 micrograms of neurological B12 that regrows damaged nerve cells and shields your memory from the brain drain agenda from the globalists. It's got 5 grams of TMG, a methyl donor juggernaut that recycles homocysteine, fueling DNA repair and detoxifying your brain. It's got acetyl L-carnitine in it. It's a brain-penetrating carnitine that floods your mitochondria with ATP, which is basically energy and reverses cognitive aging. It's got uridine monophosphate in it, the synaptogenesis rocket fuel that grows new dendritic spines and locks in razor-sharp memory, and just so much more. It's even got the CoQ10 in it, of course, which is huge. Huge product that we've sold in different forms in the past. But this is the most impressive compilation of ingredients that I've ever seen in a supplement. I'm very proud that we launched it. I'm very proud that it's our second tincture on the market. And when I'm looking through these studies, I mean, here are the benefits that are listed. Migraine prevention, cardiovascular health, antioxidant, cellular protection. We've got neurotransmitter synthesis and mood helps people with depression, according to these studies that I've looked at here. Even energy and fatigue reduction, more cardio production, cognitive support, mood cognition, endothelial function. I mean, it goes on and on. Nerve regeneration, cognitive and mood support.
So that's what you're getting with us, Ultramethylene Red. Everything we sell is the most insanely powerful, best thing we can come up with, because this is what we take, and it's common sense to want to sell somebody something that really works. So that's why everybody just raves and raves and raves about the products at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Keep your hand on your gun. Don't you trust anyone. Keep your hand on your gun.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is the War Room. Infowars.com, band.video. Let me tell you right now, if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Red, you got to go today to thealexjonesstore.com. It's just jam-packed full of all sorts of incredible stuff. Active B2, P5P form of B6, cranks out GABA, serotonin, and dopamine like a neurotransmitter factory. 5,000 micrograms of neurological B12 that regrows damaged nerves and shields your memory. And it just goes on. I can go on forever. To 100 milligrams of CoQ10, the antioxidant king that protects your neurons from oxidative assault and powers every thought you fire. The stock of Ultramethylene Red is limited. The globalists hate when you think clearly. They hate when you have energy. They hate when your brain is firing on all cylinders. Do the thing they hate, folks. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. Get yourself some Ultramethylene Red. Sign up. You get it for 50% off if you sign up for the regular deliveries. And, of course, you can get it for an even greater discount if you're a VIP member. And pair it with Ultramethylene Blue to maximize the power of both. Let's talk about Josh Hammer, shall we? Actually, before we do that, before we talk about Josh Hammer, I just saw a comment somebody made on one of my posts, because I've been going after Josh Hammer pretty hard today for the last little while, because he's a almost cartoonishly stupid person. Somebody says, China is our greatest threat, and blaming Israel on low IQ is a low IQ stance. Sorry, I'm not siding with somebody who parrots the talking points of the administration. Guess we'll agree to disagree. I guess that was in response to somebody, maybe me. Is China a threat? They could be, if they wanted to, but put yourself in China's shoes. Imagine you are a Chinese member of the Politburo or whatever it is they have over there, the Chinese Communist Party. And you look over across the Pacific Ocean and you see America. What do you see? Do you see a major threat that's coming for you? Do you see a powerful and dynamic nation that is expanding and squeezing you and threatening you and you're going to have to defend yourself? Or do you see a collapsing mess? If you're China, do you interrupt the process of America's collapse by starting a war with it? Or do you do everything you can to just keep the pace? They don't have to do anything. What does China have to do? What could China do to America that we haven't done to ourselves? It's a meme, but it's also kind of true. The policies of the left that have been instituted in America for the last 70 years have had a more devastating impact than the nukes we dropped on Japan. They rebuilt. Their cities are amazing again. Yeah, they were reduced to rubble at one point, but now they're fantastic. What happened to our cities? When do we get to rebuild? They're destroyed. They're hollowed out. They're empty. They're depressing and messy and filthy and crime-ridden. Well, why would China want to interrupt the trajectory that we are on? I don't think China's a threat. I think we're a threat to ourselves. I think the enemy is inside the gates. Could China be a threat? Absolutely. Are they our primary international competitor? Yes. Should we be working to minimize their growth and maximize our? Yes, obviously. Here's what we shouldn't be doing. One, driving Russia into their hands. Obviously. But that's what we're doing. So, I mean, how big of a threat is China if our entire foreign policy seems designed to empower them? Again, I would ask, you know, did China achieve the power they currently have attained on their own, or did they do it entirely under the, you know, willful contribution of the American elite? They don't want to go to war. They got no reason to. All they have to do is maintain and watch while America destroys ourselves from the inside out. So I understand China is a major threat. I don't bemoan anybody from talking about the threat of China, but if I was Chinese, I wouldn't give a damn what America was doing. I would just keep on keeping on, knowing that in the trajectories our two nations are heading, with no meaningful interruption, they take over, we collapse, no blood need be shed. God, these images are terrifying, to be honest with you. Okay, so here's the other thing. Here's the other thing I bring up about this, because, you know, Trump's making deals with China right now. They're claiming victory, but what I've heard from people with knowledge of the situation say the Chinese are basically laughing at us and don't feel threatened by us and are basically just waiting us out. Meanwhile, what's Israel up to? What's Israel doing? For one thing, they're trying to destroy MAGA. They're trying to destroy the right wing in this country by demanding that we expel our most prominent and successful members. Insane, for the sake of them. And it's, you know, the desperation makes sense, because what are they going to do if the Republicans drop support of Israel? Go to the Democrats? No. That's not happening anytime soon. The Democrats are firmly against Israel and will be for the time being. They're more easily manipulatable, so, you know, maybe that's a long-term strategy, but the question here isn't whether, like, MAGA will survive without Israel. It's if Israel will survive without MAGA. And they need to turn MAGA. They need to turn the Republicans into Israeli sycophants who will not accept a single deviation from complete submission to their every whim. Because if they aren't welcomed in the Republican Party, they got nowhere to go. They'll be politically homeless in this country. Now, all they really have to do is just be American. It's not hard. All you have to do, stop making demands, stop bitching, stop whining, stop screeching and squealing and demanding that we drop Tucker Carlson. Just shut up. Literally, you'd be fine. They just like can't do it. And again, it's like the people that they are right now just, you know, viciously trying to destroy, Candace Owens, Nick Fuentes, Tucker Carlson, none of them started off hating Israel. Most of them still don't. If you'd just been nice to them, if you'd just been reasonable, if you just understood that their questions come from a place of sincere objection to the brutality Israel is waging, and have some consideration and empathy for that, this wouldn't be an issue. You have to attack. For some reason, you can't help but attack, and it's destroying yourself. You absolute morons. Josh Hammer. So he writes this article. It's called this. Tucker Carlson just hit a new low with this heinous betrayal of my friend Charlie Kirk, who is surely rolling in his grave. Frankly, I'm shocked Josh Hammer was able to write the title of an article without mentioning his book in it. That's a rare accomplishment for Josh Hammer. He says this, we're talking about this on Moonbase. We can't even figure out what this first sentence is supposed to mean. On Monday evening, the most dangerous man in America sat down to interview a confused millennial. Okay, so who's who? Who's who? I guess Tucker is interviewing Nick. Nick is a Zoomer, not a millennial. That would make Tucker Carlson the most dangerous man in America. So who cares who the most dangerous man in America interviews? He's the most dangerous man. Like, this first sentence doesn't even make sense. On Monday evening, the most dangerous man in America, Tucker Carlson, which again, if he's the problem, if he's the most dangerous man in America, who cares who he's interviewing? He's the dangerous one, right? But no, he sat down to interview a confused millennial, by which I guess he means a very clear-minded and intelligent Zoomer. Okay, so we're not even one sentence in, and there's already like four misconceptions or lies or mistakes. I don't know what it is, but clearly this guy's, you know, a genius. The pair, who for a month had been regaling the masses with a bit of low-rent turf war kayfabe, implying the other was an undercover Fed, parentheses federal agent, decided to drop the faux hatchet once and for all. Yeah, it's not that Tucker and Nick had sincere disagreements about policy and then they discussed it. Like, the paranoia and conspiracy madness that comes out of this article really should make your head spin if you understand what he's implying here. He's implying that Nick Fuentes and Tucker Carlson are in fact on the same team, have nothing but love for each other, and yet for our benefit are pretending to snipe back and forth. Is that the type of thing Josh Hammer's involved in? That's all I can imagine. No, the beef was real. It was obviously real. It happened right out in front of all of us. Chuck Carlson would make a snide remark. Nick Fuentes would come back with an expose. I mean, it was happening. And then Alex Jones helped squash the beef. Alex Jones helped bring Nick and Tucker together. And now nobody will shut up about it. The whole thing's on fire. But the reason I want to read like this whole article for you, it's not long. The reason I don't want to just show you the highlights or pick and choose what to read is because I want you to see for yourself that this entire article is utterly devoid of argument. It is utterly devoid of fact. This is nothing but vicious invective, insults, screeching, crying, and lying the entire article. Not a line escapes that definition. So, first, he calls Tucker Carlson dangerous, and he basically insults Nick, saying he's confused. Then he says, basically, they're liars. They're pretending to not like each other, but really, it's all just kayfabe, which if you don't know what that is, that's the idea of it's from pro wrestling. The kayfabe is the fake reality that they build. So if, you know, whoever, you know, two wrestlers are beefing with each other, but really they're best friends behind the scenes, but the kayfabe beef is they go in the ring and they fight each other. and act like they're actually enemies when really they're best friends behind the scenes. That's what he means when he says kayfabe, in case you don't know. They did so not necessarily because they care for one another, but because their shared passion for tackling a mutual foe, Western civilization. That's right, folks. Nick Fuentes and Tucker Carlson, who basically are defined by Western civilization, whose entire careers and personalities and home decoration is defined by their overt love and dedication to Western civilization. Tucker Carlson is sitting beneath a chandelier made of antlers. The man is Daniel Boone in the 21st century. You're saying that he is motivated entirely by a secret desire to tear down Western civilization. He and Nick, they don't hate each other. That was fake. That was faux, as he put it. That was kayfabe. But they don't like each other either. He knows, because he's a mind reader. And they're just pretending to like each other now because they align both hate Western civilization. That's what this guy wants you to believe. Okay? I don't even need to tell you how absurd that is. But it's kind of like the definition of racism. It's like, to a leftist, they'll say black people can't be racist because the definition of racism basically can only apply to white people. That's kind of what Josh Hammer here is doing. He's saying they're enemies of Western civilization because in his mind, the definition of Western civilization is Judaism. And he thinks they're enemies of Judaism, which I wouldn't even say that. He continues. They hate Western civilization. It's their mutual foe, which for millennia has claimed the Hebrew Bible, Old Testament, as its preeminent moral and legal wellspring. The Old Testament is our preeminent moral and legal wellspring, which is why none of us eat shellfish. Which is why none of us ever wear clothes with, you know, multiple threads in it. Modern Judaism isn't even predicated on the Old Testament. That's why they created the Talmud. The Old Testament, the Torah, applied when there was a temple and the law was in place. Jesus Christ came as the Messiah, made a new covenant. The Old Testament doesn't apply directly anymore. It's used, it's brilliant, it's history. But the laws from the Old Testament were replaced by the laws of Jesus Christ. That was the point. That was why he was killed, by the way. You don't get killed for going, obey the law, all right? He was killed because he came and said, hey, you know the law? Here's your new law. That's not the law anymore. This is the new law. Hey, you know what the Pharisees say is the law? Yeah, they're wrong. I'm here to tell you what the law is. That's why they killed him. So to say that it's like Christianity isn't predicated on the laws of the Old Testament, modern Judaism isn't even predicated on the laws of the Old Testament. To say that Western civilization is predicated on the laws of the Old Testament is a lie. Just to be clear, he says, I'm not talking about George Soros and Hassan Piker. What? Really? This was a chat between erstwhile king of cable news, Tucker Carlson, and Nick Fuentes, the loquacious Holocaust denier who has been leading an anti-Semitic provocateur since he first burst on the political commentary scene a decade ago. He says Fuentes, perhaps most infamous for a 2019 rant wherein he analogized Jews massacred by the Nazis to the Sesame Street character Cookie Monster baking cookies in an oven in an attempt to explain why 6 million dead Jews at the hand of the Nazis just doesn't make sense, stayed true to his form during the Tucker Carlson interview. Okay, let's unpack this one, shall we? The Cookie Monster rant, the infamous Cookie Monster rant, wasn't even a rant. It was a super chat from somebody else. I know this because I've routinely brought this up because of the proximity to which you need to be to a anti-Semitic joke to yourself be tainted by Holocaust denial. Remember, when I tried to interview Sebastian Gorka at CPAC in like 2021, I think, or something like that, 2020 it must have been, he said, I don't want to talk to you. Because you're with InfoWars, which is Alex Jones. Alex Jones is associated with Nick Fuentes. Nick Fuentes is a Holocaust denier because of the Cookie Monster thing. Now, the Cookie Monster thing was actually a super chat that he laughed at. He read aloud, as you do with super chats, and then he responded to it, laughing and joking. The joke being, the Cookie Monster wants 6 million cookies. He only has this many ovens and this long to bake it. Is that possible? And Nick Fuentes laughs and goes, I don't know, 6 million... 6 million cookies in that amount of time, that doesn't seem reasonable. I don't know if you could achieve that many cookies baking in that amount of time. That seems like you need more time for that. Laughing at what somebody else had said. So this is how close you have to be in order for a gay whale to want to reject you from CPAC. Is I work for a guy who has worked with Nick Fuentes, who once read a comment about a joke about the Holocaust. Therefore, I have to be persona non grata. That's the taint, right? Okay, so it wasn't a rant. It wasn't Nick Fuentes angrily ranting about the Cookie Monster. It's him literally laughing at a joke somebody else wrote and going, I don't know if that makes sense totally. Okay, but point being, so far we are, just finished the first page of this article. We've seen absolutely nothing from anything Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes said, despite the fact that that's supposed to be what this article is about. So far, we have him calling Tucker Carlson dangerous, saying that they're liars, saying they hate Western civilization, calling Nick Fuentes confused, a liar, hates Western civilization, anti-Semitic, Holocaust denier who hates Jews. Okay, so no substance yet, no argument yet, no facts yet, but he has been sure to poison the well, as it were. No pun intended. At various points, Fuentes mused about the evils of organized Jewry and contended that discredited neoconservatism cannot be divorced from Jewishness. That's news to this Jew. Which, again, this is just dishonest. Neoconservatism was created by Jewish individuals for, like, on that basis, because they wanted a relationship with Israel to be maintained, because they wanted America working with Israel to help them achieve their ends in the Middle East. It is, you can't divorce it from Jewishness. Like, that's who the neoconservatives were. Now, what Josh Hammer is insinuating is that somehow, because he's Jewish, he must be a neoconservative, which is an inversion of what was actually said. Just to be clear, hopefully you understand that. The host's response, in turn, was so fawning that it amounted to laundering of Fuentes' repugnant beliefs. And? So, what's repugnant about that belief? What's repugnant about saying, hey, you know the neocons that wrote down their plans for American foreign policy that were then adhered to by the Bush administration? They were all Jewish and predicated a lot of their geopolitical agenda on that fact. Is that repugnant for anybody? I mean, that's history. It's just basic, normal history. Everybody knows this. Well, why would it even be a bad thing? Crazy. Fuentes, who's personally called me filth, well, you are, said that Jews like me and broadcaster Mark Levin are not American and do not belong here. Jews like me. The most important part of that sentence being like me. Like me. He's not saying all Jews are not American. He's saying people that clearly and repeatedly reinforce the idea. They clearly express and repeatedly reinforce the idea that they value Israel more than America. They're trying to destroy the Republican Party right now because some members aren't sufficiently sycophantic towards Israel. But again, where's the issue? Again, it's this guy is anti-American. This guy is un-American. Mark Levin doesn't prioritize America. He prioritizes Israel. I think it's fine to have a problem with that. I think it's fine to have a problem, especially if the people are dual citizens with another country and seem to value and benefit that country. Same reason I get pissed off at Omar Fattah. Who the hell are you? You're a foreigner. You're going to come here and have your foreign beliefs and your, you know, prioritization of your foreign country? Screw you. These people in Omar Fattah, yeah, they're not American. Sorry. You can behave like an American. You can make that choice at any moment to prioritize America. At any point in time, at any second of the day, you can say to yourself, you know, Josh Hammer, today I'm not going to shill for Israel. But you don't. You routinely do, and you admit it yourself. So, like, what are we supposed to say? And again, you can just look at some of his own statements. I'm going to go through this stack next, but just to cut the line a little bit. Josh Hammer, here's one of his tweets. I am Jewish. Proudly, I advocate every single day for my life, for the Jewish people, for the Jewish state of Israel. Okay, so I don't know. I'm an American. I've never once advocated for the Jewish state of Israel. Is it wrong for me to say that means that your priority is with the state of Israel and not America, and that therefore makes you less American than somebody whose priority is America? Is this a difficult concept for you to obtain, Josh Hammer? If you're out there going, I think about Israel every day, and every day I work for the Jewish state Israel, and people are like, that doesn't sound very American. He's like, how dare you? And he turns to the other Jews and goes, you hear that? He says Jews aren't American. Stop. Stop using your ethnicity as a shield, you miserable cow. Predictably claimed yet again on Carlson's own show that American Jews put interests of Israel over the interests of their own country. Well, some do. You do, in particular. Mark Levin does, in particular. You know, I shudder to think that people can't see through this. That is the most transparent, you know, defense method you can imagine. Oh, they're insulting me? Oh, they're questioning me? I know. I'll say he's actually questioning all Jews, so that this isn't seen as a criticism of my beliefs. It's instead interpreted as a hatred of the Jewish people, so I can silence and expel these people from the party that I glommed onto after my bid to oust Trump with DeSantis failed. I'm going to continue with this, because again, so far, we have, he mentioned one thing, and he mentioned that neoconservatism cannot be divorced from Jewishness, you know, because of history. This was a chat between Nick Fuentes and Loquacious Holocaust denier, leading anti-Semitic provocateur. Fuentes, who has personally called me filth, we read that already. Looks like this printed out double some pages. That's weird. Okay, this is another hilarious lie that he puts out. Let's see, how does it start? Tucker Carlson sparks backlash for hosting, he says American Jews put the interests of Israel over the interests of their own country. It's a monstrous and destructive lie. He claimed that Jews hate Europeans because Romans destroyed the temple in Jerusalem 2 millennia ago. Now, I even realized this the first time I read it, but that sentiment doesn't even make any sense. That's such a, again, another just complete inversion of reality. First of all, Nick Fuentes brought up how Eric Weinstein went to the temple of, Arch of Titus in Rome, and has a picture of him flicking off the Arch of Titus, saying, I'm here after 2,000 years to, you know, say F you to Titus. And it's like, Americans don't think like that. We don't harbor ill will towards a long dead empire because of what they did to people we weren't related to 2,000 years ago. Like, that's a very sick mindset. And Josh Hammer turns that into Europeans hate Jews because Rome destroyed the temple. We'll get back into this on the other side. Stay with us.
Announcing, ladies and gentlemen, Ultra Methylene Red. Now, this bottle is three times the size of an Ultra Methylene Blue bottle because it's to have the formula, you got to have a lot more stuff in it. But this, ladies and gentlemen, is amazing. And it just came in yesterday. I took it with the Methylene Blue. Incredible workout today. Clarity, focus, it is so amazing. So here it is, ladies and gentlemen. And it's available right now exclusively. Limited first run. A little more comes in a month, but they got a limited run. Chase, tell us about what is in Ultra Methylene Red.
So we are officially the first company through the Alex Jones store that's ever even invented or launched something like this called Methylene Red. And just like you said, Alex, we have suppliers that we work with, manufacturers that we work with in Florida, Utah, Arizona, and other places. We reached out to all of them and we asked them for a formula that would super enhance the effects of Methylene Blue, but also work as a standalone product. I mean, just to give you an example, Alex, one of our best sellers when we were still operating the InfoWars store was Ultra 12, and this has everything that Ultra 12 had in it. 206,000% your daily value of vitamin B12 through methylcobalamin. So this is all backed by studies, by the way. We looked very carefully into this. The P5P form of B6 that cranks out GABA, serotonin, and dopamine like a neurotransmitter factory. It's got 5,000 micrograms of neurological B12 that regrows damaged nerve cells and shields your memory from the brain drain agenda from the globalists. But this is the most impressive compilation of ingredients that I've ever seen in a supplement.
That man, the back computer's picked up a transmission from Alex Jones, and he's holding some kind of red serum.
Indeed, that appears to be Ultra Methylene Red, a powerful supplement, perhaps too powerful if it were to fall into criminal hands.
Holy neurotransmitters, Batman. What if the Riddler gets a hold of it? He could outthink us for once.
Precisely why we must act swiftly, old chum. To the Batmobile.
There he is, Batman.
What's red, bottled, and drives your brain batty with brilliance? Ultra Methylene Red, of course.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.